Our message this morning is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalms and chapter number 30. We have been studying in this brand new calendar year. Hard to believe that a month of this year is gone already, but we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit, what God's Spirit produces in a believer's life. And you could find that in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, or you could just look on the wall behind me, because my wife has it plastered all over the wall behind me. But in February, we will switch to something else that the Spirit of God produces in a believer's life, and that is joy. And it is a great theme throughout the entire Bible. So I will speak to you this morning on this subject. Don't eat your meatballs first. From the book of Psalms, chapter number 30. And if you're looking through Psalm 30 for the word meatball, it's not there. That would be in the book of 2 Zephaniah. One time I tried to be cute and funny, and I actually made up a book that I thought was not in the Bible that actually was in the Bible. So I'm always trying to be, I always got to be careful about that now. Because I said some joke like that, and everybody was like, "Preacher, that's a real book. That's a real book." Oh, glad somebody in here knows the Bible. But Psalm chapter 30, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I'll bring to you this message on don't eat your meatballs first. And then after that, well, we don't have meatballs for you, but in a little bit we'll have burgers and hot dogs and side dishes and games and all that kind of stuff. Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. If you have your copy of God's good book, would you take your King James Bible? Would you stand with me, please? Out of respect for this book, if you're physically able, please, would you stand? If you're able to stand, would you stand? And we will read verses 1 through 5 out loud together. What a privilege it is this morning to have a copy of this great book. It is a tremendous gift this morning. And if, my friend, darkness might be in your heart for any reason this morning, I urge you, look at the words, listen to the words of this great book. It can be a lamp in your dark place. Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. We'll read them out loud together. We'll start at verse number 1. Are you ready? Are you set? Let's read. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Notice that phrase there at the end of verse number 5. When did it say that joy comes? Joy comes when? When?
In the morning.
And that's the idea that I'll share with you this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's ask God for his help. God, there's nobody here that needs your help more than I do. And God, I would beg you for it. And you're my Father, and I will trust you for it. I trust you for your blessing on your people, on your church, on the message that's preached, that it would be what God once said, and that your Spirit, that you would keep me from saying anything that would dishonor you. I would speak the truth. I would represent your Son. Please empower me, Holy Ghost of God, And I pray for some lives to be changed through this simple message. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Don't eat your meatballs first. We had spaghetti for dinner last night. That absolutely means nothing to you, but it's where the opening of the message is from. Heaven was eating her spaghetti, and she had a couple meatballs on her plate. She loves those meatballs. So she takes those meatballs, are you listening? She takes those meatballs and she eats those first. I read people that teach about time management. Have you ever read any time management or studied anything about time management? And what they say to do is that when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is you eat the frog. What? That sounds disgusting. It is. That's what you eat first. In other words, if you're somebody who has a lot on their schedule, what you want to do is you want to do the thing that to you is the most disgusting thing. The thing that you don't want to do, the meeting that you don't want to have, the phone call that you do, the thing that you absolutely just loathe doing, you get that out of the way first. And if you get that out of the way first, the rest of your day is going to go a lot easier. Now, notice in Psalm chapter 30 and verse number 5, God's calendar. Do you see how God works? In Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5, it talks about weeping and then it talks about joy. It talks in that verse, it talks about evening, it talks about night, and then it talks about morning. So, heaven gobbled down those meatballs. Are you listening? And then she started looking around and she realized she is all out of meatballs. But she still has this plate of noodles and sauce and lettuce and Italian dressing and all of that. And she does what any five-year-old, right? Five-year-old would do. She starts fiddling with the noodles and twirling the noodles and playing with the food. And then she looks at Dylan and she says to Dylan, "Can I have your meatball?" Now, Dylan, being occasionally a kind-hearted soul, takes and gives her that meatball. I'm telling you, I felt like I just saw the Red Sea parted. Really? A boy gave up his meatball? But the first thing she did was she stuck her fork into that meatball, and there went that meatball too. Here's the problem. No more meatballs. No more meatballs left for her. All she has left there is this plate of noodles with the sauce, and she doesn't like that. And you know what kids do? She's fiddling with it, and there's the lettuce, and the spaghetti sauce is getting mixed in with the Italian dressing, and the lettuce is getting mixed in with the noodles. What's the big deal? It's all going to the same place anyhow. It is. It's all going to the same place anyhow. You can have it. Do you eat like that? Your food can't touch any of it? Any of the other food? Like your potatoes cannot touch your meat? She's got it all. It's all mixed together and she's playing with it. And she's out of meatballs. And I said, "Heaven, listen to Dad for a second. Don't eat your meatballs first. Because if you eat your meatballs first, then all you're left with is nothing against your spaghetti, honey. Yuck." Well, it's not that her spaghetti's bad. It's just that heaven was like noodles and sauce and no meatballs and lettuce and dressing and no meatballs She ate her meatballs first, and then all she's left with is yuck. Save the best till last. Yes. That's how God does it. Look back at Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. Weeping may endure for a what? A night. God starts at night. Amen. He works the night shift. I know he does. He works the night shift. God starts at night. Hey, go back to in your Bible. You brought your Bible. Take and flip clear to the front of your Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. See if this will change your thinking. It says in Genesis chapter 1, the morning and the evening were the first day. Right? The morning and the evening are the first day. Right? Thank you. The rest of you? No meatballs for you either. The evening and the morning were the first day. That's how God's clock works. God starts at night. God starts at night, and then joy comes in the morning. God saves the best for last. God saves the joy for the morning, but first God begins working in darkness. You see, darkness and sorrow and weeping and trouble in God's calendar always precede joy and blessing and happiness. But if I get all my happiness first, then I get all nastiness. That's all that's left. Do you remember in John chapter number 2? Jesus did this tremendous miracle. Jesus did this tremendous miracle. He turned the water into wine. He did it almost anonymously. That the person who was in charge of tasting all the food and all the beverages that were served at the wedding did not even know where this water that had been made wine, where this wine had come from. But he went to the groom and he said to the groom, he said, you've done something unusual because you have kept the best wine for now. And usually people have the best at the first. He said, but no, you kept the best for the last. If this morning you were in a place of difficulty, congratulations. Here's why I say that today. Because God starts at night, but then joy comes in the morning. Don't eat this morning your meatballs first or at any time of day. Make sure today that the difficult things, the difficult tasks, the hard things that they're taking care of first, save the best for last. You see, in God's calendar, he begins in darkness and then proceeds to dawn. God's day starts in darkness and then it gets brighter. Darkness comes before the light. See, here's the idea this morning. Work comes before rest. You don't rest. I don't rest and then I say, okay, I'll get to work. No, I work and then I will rest. It's evening, then it is morning. It's weeping, then it becomes joy. Dylan and I were out visiting yesterday. We were out soul winning, and Dylan said to Tracy, he said, Dad, I'm going to hand out 25 flyers this morning on visitation, and I'm going to tell somebody how to get saved. Tracy told me that. I said, Dylan, that's a good idea. And I thought, Dylan and I, we're going to be partners today. So we hopped in the church van, and it was cold yesterday. Well, we went to a few houses, and Dylan got cold. And Dylan said, Dad, it's cold. And after a few more visits, Dylan said, Dad, there's nobody out here. And then after a couple more visits, Dylan said, hey, Dad, are we ever going to Sheetz and getting hot chocolate? In God's calendar, work is first. Toil is first. Labor is first. Effort is first. And then comes rest. Well, we went to about 15 homes. And then Dylan said, Dad, I'm ready to go home. Dad, I'm ready to quit. I said, Dylan,
God said we can't. It's God didn't tell us to quit yet, Dylan. Dylan, we haven't told anybody God so loved the world yet. Dylan, we haven't told anybody that Christ died for our sins yet, was buried and rose again. Dylan, God hasn't said that we can quit yet. It's not stopping time yet. But I guarantee you, Dylan, once we get done with our work, then comes the hot chocolate. You see, you work, then you rest. You toil, then you're rewarded. You run, and then you cross the finish line. You race, and then you get rewarded. Tears precede joy. Sowing comes before reaping, and repentance comes before revival. So this morning, there is a young man today that Dylan and I stood at the door and told the gospel to him. And that young man bowed his head, put his hand on my Bible. Dylan took his little hand and put his hand on that man's hand and bowed his head. And Dylan bowed his head and prayed, "Dear Lord, I pray you would save this man so that he doesn't go to hell." And I bowed my head and I prayed and I said, "Lord, I pray for this man to be healthy and happy and holy and to know that he's saved." And I said, "Sir, you ought to talk to God for yourself." And he called on Christ and asked the Lord Jesus to be his Savior. And then, see, then we can go to Sheets. Toil precedes rest. Here's how it works in God's order. It's night. It's difficult. It's hard. There's weeping. There's tears. But eventually, the sun starts coming up. But if you get all your happiness first, then there's nothing but yuck that's left. God's calendar works this way this morning. There might be darkness in my life, but the morning will follow, joy will follow, the sun will come up, because morning always follows the darkest night, and joy always follows those tears. You'd call his name Joseph this morning. He was a great world leader. It is amazing the economic knowledge that Joseph had. The skills of government that Joseph had are just pretty much unmatched in all the pages of Scripture. What a leader he was. But do you understand where Joseph started out? He started out in the night of a pit. His brothers took him and threw him into that pit. His own brothers would have killed him, except one brother said, "You know, if we kill him, we don't get any money. Instead of killing him, let's sell him." But my friend, do you understand? If it wasn't for that darkness of that betrayal and the darkness of that pit and the darkness of that sorrow, there is no great joy and great sunrise that Joseph enjoyed. By the way, God eventually put that family back together. Hey, can I tell you this morning, in God's calendar, it's toil and then rest. It's race and then reward. It's marriage and then children. It is God's plan this morning for evening to proceed, to go before sunrise. How about Moses? Whew. What a man Moses was. Fact is, that good book describes Moses as somebody that there wasn't anybody like him. He talked to God face to face. There were things that he and God, the relationship that he and God had, it was just incomparable. Well, surely Moses was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he wasn't. Do you know that Moses was born, and when he was about 3 months old, that little boy was taken by his sister and put in a basket in the Nile River, and he floated in that Nile River with all those snakes and crocodiles and all of that water rushing by, and his world leadership began in a little basket, and he ended up getting adopted by Pharaoh. Can I tell you something this morning, my friend, that great man Moses began his life in darkness, a slave in Egypt, adopted by Pharaoh, but eventually he becomes a great world leader. In God's calendar this morning, evening and morning are the first day. Weeping, then joy. Toil, then rest. Work, then reward. Here's God's calendar this morning. Tears precede joy. Sowing precedes reaping. And earning precedes spending. See, God intends me to earn so that I can spend and so that I can give. But here's the mistake we make in this society. It's right here in my pocket. We'll spend with no thought of earning. I'll go to Boscov's. I don't know how to say it. You know where it is, right? Of course you do, Roberta. They banned you from Boscov's, Roberta. You and Helen both are told, don't let those sisters in Boscov's. I'll walk up to the cash register. I'll have a shirt, tie, something like that. And what will the person behind the register usually say? You know, if you would, is this going to be on your Boscov's charge? You know, if you would take out a Boscov's charge, you would save an extra 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. You'd save on, and I always stop and say to them, I need a credit card like I need a hole in the head. You see, in God's calendar, it is earn, and then spend. That's God's calendar. Now, if I do all the spending now, you know what all I've got left? The yuckiness of earning. The pressure of earning. The pressure of debt. But if instead I earn and then spend, that's evening and morning, the very first day. When Tracy and I got married, April 25th, 1998, Saturday at 2 p.m., the Bible Baptist Church of Mercer. Boy, didn't we have a house full of furniture. We had all kind of furniture. No, we didn't. We were too dumb and too in love. Well, I was dumb, and she was in love. Is there a difference? I don't know. Furniture? We're in love. What do we need furniture for? We'll sleep on something. We'll sit down with furniture? A fridge? A mattress? A couch? What do you need that stuff for? Now, here's the temptation. The temptation is to just spend, and instead, you earn first. We had an old wicker basket-type thingy, and that was our coffee table. We had an old kind of chartreuse-colored couch, and that was the couch, a love seat. Somebody took mercy on us and gave to us a waterbed. Anybody remember waterbeds? Woohoo! You're like, wow, I got a waterbed. And then a month later, you're like, dear Lord, take this waterbed. But by then, you've hauled it to the second floor, right? And you're just like, how do I get like Lake Michigan out of this bedroom? Evening and morning are the first day. You earn, then you spend. You weep, then you rejoice. Things are difficult. You're Moses and you're put in that basket and you're floating in the Nile River. Can I tell you, but if you endure those, if you eat your meatballs first, then all you got left is yuck. But if you get the, if you eat the frog first and do that thing you don't want to do the most, well then, you've got all the good stuff left. Here's the wonderful thing in closing about being a child of God. You get all the bad stuff first. You get tribulation first. But if you're a child of God, eventually, it's all good. Because you get heaven. If you're a child of God, you get all the yuck first. Because you get temptation and you get criticism and you get persecution and you get rejection and people laugh at you because, oh, you're one of those church people and you're one of the you're one of those God people, and people laugh at you and make fun of you. But hey, the bad comes first, because eventually you get to heaven and you see Jesus Christ and you're rewarded for all your sufferings. You see, in God's calendar, it's night and then the day begins coming up. You weep and then you have joy. Could I encourage somebody this morning that you just feel like, man, it is so dark in my life? Congratulations. Sooner or later, the sun is going to come up over that horizon. Do you know this morning how I started preaching? I went to Bible college, have a 4-year degree from the School of Hard Knocks. Went to Bible college. When I graduated, you were supposed to fill out like this form with all your qualities on it, all the things you knew how to do, and you were to turn that in. I had one thing I could check on the box. I could preach. That was it. Lead singing? No. Ever teach in a school? No. What can you do? Well, I guess I can preach some. God called me to preach. My friends came to me, and I was graduating in just a few months, and they said, what are you going to do when you graduate? And I said, I don't know. And I began to feel like, wow. I went to school for the... Hey, remember, in God's calendar, it's weeping, it's difficulty, it's night, and then it's morning and joy. I'm going to confess a sin to you, because I know my secrets are safe with you. I said to my friends, my roommates, I don't know if they're the same thing. Probably not. Roommates, friends, yeah. I said, oh, guess what, guys? I got a job offer. Liar, liar, britches on fire. I didn't have a job offer. I said, I'm going to go work at this church in Florida. Pensacola, too. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I had no job offer. I had no church in Pensacola, Florida that was going to... I had a friend that was a pastor in Pensacola, Florida, but he never offered me a job. I was lying about it. I graduated from Bible college and I went home. Okay, there's 4 years of my life and a lot of money that... But you remember, evening and morning are the first day. You start off with nothing, my friend. You eat the frog first. Don't eat your meatballs first, because then you're just left with yuck. I went home to Pittsburgh. I went to Pastor Grimaldi and I said, preacher, what do you want me to do? He said, I don't know. That was the last time I heard that. I don't know. I don't know what I want you to do, but he said, I don't even have a classroom for you to teach in. I don't know what... Boy, was that just a dark time for me. I felt for sure God's called me to be a preacher, but can I tell you, It's not how you start off. It's how you end up. It's how you end up that counts. He said, well, here's what you can do. Out back, there's a bus garage. A big old 72-passenger bus parked in it. He said, you can go to that bus garage and put down that drywall. You know, that stuff, it's kind of like sand, and you put it. He said, put that down on the floor and sweep up all the oil and get all the transmission fluid swept up and put out some folding chairs and wipe all the exhaust and all the diesel off of them. And you can take that bus. Now, I don't have any prospects for you, but you can run that bus around the city of Pittsburgh and get a group of people together and put them in that bus garage and preach the dickens out of them. You know what that paid? Well, in U.S. currency, zero. In Bitcoin, what did that pay? Zero. In pesos, what did that pay? Zero. By the way, in heaven's currency, whoo, pretty good pay. That's where I started, in darkness. Do you get that? That's where I started, feeling like, how do you do that? F, isn't it F, right, like that? So you're looking at your life this morning. Boy, is it dark. Boy, is it hopeless. That's the best place to start. Because over the horizon, here comes the sun. God always starts in darkness and then starts in weeping and then comes the joy. A tear today is an investment in a joy tomorrow. Let us bow our heads and let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity to preach the book of God. My master, I wish it would be an encouragement to somebody this morning that joy comes in the morning. After the night of weeping, the sun comes up. After the night of loneliness and weariness and toil, reward comes, joy comes. I pray this morning you would help that person. Help that person, Jesus Christ. Help that soul this morning that is sunk in despondency and darkness and depression. Help that soul, Lord Jesus, to realize the sun coming up in the morning gonna dry every tear from my eyes, and this old clay gonna give way to glory. God, please move in the invitation. Please move against the forces of darkness and against the spirit of wickedness in high places. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Here's the question for you on this morning. If you died, would you go to heaven? I wouldn't try and make you a Baptist. I wouldn't try and make you a member of this church. I would try and see if you wouldn't put your faith in Christ this morning. Have you been saved? Have you received him? If you have done that, if you know what it means to be born again and receive Christ by faith, would you raise your hand as a testimony to that this morning? I see your hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. You can put them down. Is there somebody this morning that would say, I don't know what it means to be saved. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I am concerned about that. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that this morning, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me this morning. Anyone like that? Wave at me if you are. Next question is this. How many of you have been baptized in the water after you believed on Christ? How many of you have received Christ and then followed him in baptism? Can you raise your hand that you've done that? I see your hands. God bless you. Thank you. You can put them down. Thank you. Is there somebody who would say, sir, I'm saved, but I didn't get baptized yet. Sir, I have received Christ, but I didn't get dunked yet. Please pray for me about that matter of baptism. Anybody like that this morning? Final question. Here it is. Final question is this. Have there been a lot of tears, a lot of disappointments, a lot of sorrows? In God's calendar, darkness comes before light. In God's calendar, tears precede joy. In God's calendar, we don't start in morning, we start in evening. Real joy is always preceded by tears. If you don't hate weeds, you can't love flowers. Without tears, there's no joy. Here's what I invite you to do this morning. If God has spoken to your heart, here's what I invite you to do this morning, to step from your seat. When you hear the music play, to step from your seat and come to the front and kneel and say, "Dear God, I claim that promise this morning, that no matter how dark it is and no matter how deep the night might be, that this morning I claim the promise, darkness comes before morning, sorrow comes before joy. But I claim the promise this morning that joy and happiness and blessing is on its way."